It's 8 o'clock, and you are listening to the regional newscast on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano. The storm over the KVNF listening area could affect holiday travel over mountain passes and along Interstate 70 and other major highways. The passes could become packed with snow and ice, reducing visibility. The Colorado Department of Transportation is reminding drivers that heavy traffic across the state could occur over the next several weekends. CDOT says travel seems to increase on the I-70 corridor after Christmas as people head to the mountains for skiing and other winter activities. Hammond's Candy, based in Denver, is synonymous with the holiday season, from candy canes to boxes of chocolate. KGNU's Harrison Todd went to find out how it all gets made.
I've been pulling since January.
Yeah. He's really got his technique down quickly because this skill right here alone can take about a year and a half to learn how to master.
That's the sound of hundreds of candy canes being cut down to size and subsequently shaped into their iconic cane form. When eating these treats, it's easy to forget that so much hard work goes into making them. Here, my tour guide Kathy talks about the pure uniqueness and precision of the candies being made.
For over a year now, Josie, right?
She's our favorite crooker.
She's the favorite crooker. She can tell just by touching the candy if the weight's off, because they're so used to seeing the same size going through. But they also have the scale right here just in case she needs it. And you can see when you first started, they were a little bit big or a little too small. Sometimes, you know, when they get in their groove, they might cut it a little too short or something, but no two candy canes will ever be the same.
Sun went down and the jungle fire was burning. Down the track came a hobo hiking, and he said, "Boys, I'm not turning. I'm headed for a land that's far away, beside the crystal fountains. So come with me, we'll go and see the big rock candy mountain."
Batches usually take anywhere between 30 to 40 minutes, and that's about all we can spend on it. Not only because of the way that we make it, they're working with this candy while it's about 200 to 220 degrees. So they have to do it very quickly. You can see right here there was a crack.
Ever wonder how those canes got their stripes? Here the candy maker adds different colors to areas of this sheet of candy. Red paste is mixed into one section, then green is added in another corner. It's a multi-layered, precise process, and it's all done by hand.
Not only do we make all of our candy by hand, we also package it all by hand. We put all the twist ties, ribbons, bows, batch number, barcode numbers, tags, labels, stickers, whatever goes on a bag, a box, an individually wrapped or a case is all done by hand.
Candy kisses wrapped in paper mean more to you than any of mine. Candy kisses wrapped in paper you'd rather have.
During peak candy making season, several hundred candy makers work at the factory, and they all have an important role to play.
Now this, like I said, is cooling from the bottom up, so she'll just continue to knead this candy until it's all the same temperature.
While long associated with Denver, Hammond's has a global reach. Their goal is to produce 1.3 million pounds of candy this year to be shipped all around the world.
Right now we're doing about 4,000 pounds a day. By the time Christmas gets here, we'll be closer to 8,000 or 9,000 pounds a day, all one batch at a time, by hand.
But it's not just candy canes that get crafted here in the Hammond's factory. The Whoopie Pie chocolate bar is one of their latest creations, but some other varieties are tried and tested.
The Mitchell Sweet is one of our most famous soft candies that we have, and it's one of the ones that came from the 1920s and still in good standings. Not a lot has disappeared in 93 years. We're still making pretty much the same candies we started with, including more flavors. We started out with maybe 5 different flavors, we have almost 30 now.
For KGNU, this is Harrison Todd.
When state lawmakers return to the Capitol on January 7th, Republicans will have control of the Senate for the first time in a decade. Benta Berkland looks at how Democrats plan to regroup.
Democratic Senator Morgan Carroll of Aurora will go from being Senate president to the minority leader. She says her caucus will have to readjust when it comes to getting things done, but their objectives remain the same.
The things we believe in and who we're working for really hasn't changed. Our goal always has been, will continue to be, listening to what's going on in the district, figuring out the problems, where people are struggling, and what we can do about it.
Republicans say Democrats overplayed their hand as a majority and passed too many controversial bills. The GOP will hold a one-seat advantage in the Senate, while Democrats maintain control of the House. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
When you think of milk, you may also think of cookies or milk mustaches. One thing you probably don't think about is energy. But as it turns out, it takes a lot of electricity to make a single gallon of milk. KUNC's Stephanie Page Ogburn reports on how some Colorado dairies are working to use less energy.
That's the sound of a vacuum pump at Jim McClay's Cottonwood Dairy, a few miles outside of Platteville. That pump helps carry thousands of gallons of milk away from his cows and into large stainless steel holding tanks in his barn.
We're a 320 cow dairy. We use approximately, electricity-wise, about the same as 10 households every month to run this small dairy. If your normal bill is $200, ours is $2,000.
And it's not just the pumps. The milk you buy at the grocery store is cold, but when it comes out of the cow, it's about 100 degrees. Dairies have to chill it to just above freezing.
They're operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.
Christian Willis heads up a new pilot program at the Colorado Energy Office that helps dairies use less electricity.
The energy audit is really kind of the key to the success of the program.
For McClay, the audit was an eye-opener.
You're going to be amazed at how much stuff that you've been operating on for the last 20 years or 10 years that is not efficient at all.
If a dairyman makes improvements based on the recommendations in the audit, 75% of the cost, up to $25,000, are covered by federal funds.
This afforded us the opportunity to experiment at a much lesser financial risk to us.
Remember that 100-degree milk? Jim McClay used to cool it in giant tanks, which took a long time and used a lot of energy. With help from the new program, he was able to spend $6,000 on a new and improved milk chiller. He saw the difference right away. Overall, McClay is using about a quarter less energy than he used to. Cindy Heron is head of the Western Dairy Association. She hopes Colorado dairies can be a model for the rest of the nation.
We really believe that the time is now for all of these types of projects.
The Colorado Energy Office plans to expand its program next year to include more dairies. The program is also open to farmers with powered irrigation systems. For KUNC, I'm Stephanie Page Ogburn.
You've been listening to the regional newscast on KVNF. I'm Laura Palmisano. Coming up next, the Feel Good Friday Morning Music Mix.